So earlier, we announced the news of the departure of Shula Prabhupada's very dear disciple and associate, His Holiness Bhakti Swarupananda Swami Maharaj, who left this world this morning in Calcutta. So this evening we'll speak something about Maharaj. It's okay. In this song that we sent, Srila Narottam Das Thakur laments the departure of all the associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Guru Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, Swarupananda Goswami, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. Eka Kale Kota Gela Gola Natana. All at once they've left and joined Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, leaving us here. So similarly, Srila Prabhupada left this world in 1977, and inevitably his associates are also leaving this world one by one. His sister Pishima left this world, along with Krishna Goswami Maharaj, His Holiness Srila Sridhar Maharaj. Then Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj. And others also have left. And one by one, all the rest of his disciples and associates will leave this world, and none will be left. And then their followers will carry on, and then they'll also leave, and their followers will carry on. And in this way, one generation comes and goes, the next generation carries on. And the message of Krishna consciousness has to be transmitted from one generation to the next and spread for the welfare of others. So His Holiness Bhakti Swarupananda Maharaj dedicated his life for Srila Prabhupada's service. Of course, he was coming from a Vaishnava background. He came from Manipur, where the whole state is Krishna conscious. Practically, the whole state of Manipur, the dominant spiritual force is the movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The Manipuri Vaishnavas are great devotees of Lord Chaitanya and Sri Radha Govinda. Everywhere there are temples of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, Radha Govinda, Jagannath, no demigods. There you don't find as generally in India we find everywhere there are temples of Lord Shiva, there are temples of Durga Mataji, there are many, many different kinds of temples. But in, actually it's alright, I'll just, but in Manipur, practically speaking, just Krishna and Gauranga Mahaprabhu, Jagannath, and Sankirtan. The whole state is full of Krishna Sankirtan. The women there also are very good mridanga players. They're very strong mridanga players. Yes. And the Manipuri dance is very famous, in which the subject matter is always the pastimes of Lord Krishna. And the little girls from a young age are very inclined, very keen to take part in these dances, dance dramas, and they're trained very carefully how to play the parts with the right attitude, and the presentation is very sublime. So, because one follower of the Narottam Das Thakur's followers especially preached in Manipur, one king became Krishna conscious, and he made the whole state Krishna conscious. So, His Holiness Bhakti Sura Damodar Maharaj is coming from that special background, Manipuri Vaishnavas. And he came to America. He graduated with honors, high grades, and he took up his graduate studies at the University of California in Irvine, which is one of the most prestigious schools for scientific study in America, University of California in Irvine. He was studying, I think, chemistry, biology, molecular biology or chemical biology, like that. That side of things. And it was in, by the influence of a friend, I think, that he came in touch with the Krishna consciousness movement and met Srila Prabhupada in California. I think it must have been in Los Angeles. And Srila Prabhupada at once took an interest in him and singled him out as a recipient of special favor and attention. We can't know exactly what's in the mind of the Acharya. Maybe he saw that here's a young scientist, and Srila Prabhupada had some very specific ideas of science and what he wanted to accomplish in the scientific community. So perhaps he saw that here's an interested scientist. Or perhaps he saw that here's a young Manipuri boy, and the Manipuris are by tradition inclined to the service of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Prabhupada might have thought that this is a good project to capture this young man. Or perhaps Srila Prabhupada was simply appreciative of his personal qualities. We don't know exactly what was in Prabhupada's mind. But in any case, from right away, Prabhupada took an interest in this young person, young scientist. And began giving him a lot of attention. And Sarva Damodar Maharaj, of course, was very quickly took part in the Krishna consciousness movement. I don't remember exactly what year he received initiation. But he became one of Prabhupada's close associates. Prabhupada had very strong ideas about science. He saw that the scientific achievements are being misused, and the scientific minds of the scientists are affected by the materialistic point of view. Asatyam apratishtam te jagadau uranishra. Everything is coming from chemicals, life comes from chemicals, the universe self-organizes, everything happens without any controller, without any God. Everything simply happens by the laws of nature. Prabhupada saw that this atheistic viewpoint was very strong, especially in the Western countries, but actually all over the world. So Srila Prabhupada had in mind to challenge. Not only had it in mind, he was already challenging the mundane scientists. That how is it that life can come from matter? This is the philosophy of getting milk from the nipples on the goat's neck. This is mentioned by Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami. Perhaps you've seen that the goat has some nipples, some flesh hanging from its neck. So it looks like nipples. But if someone thinks, well, then I'll get some milk from those nipples, that's foolish. That's not possible. So thinking that we'll get life from matter is like thinking that we can get milk from the nipples on the goat's neck. Simply not possible. Elsewhere, it's compared to the logic of the scorpions and the rice. From big piles of rice, suppose on the docks or something, the scorpions are coming out. So someone thinks that, the rice has produced the scorpion. So by this kind of logic, they come to the wrong conclusion, that the rice has produced the scorpion. They don't know that the mother scorpion, father scorpion, they've produced the scorpion. So similarly, the scientists think that simply from matter, because they see from matter life comes, but they somehow ignore that life comes from life. That without the touch of life, life doesn't arise. And if you trace back, life comes from life, from life, from life, finally you get to the Supreme Life. So Prabhupada saw that this nonsense is going on, challenging the scientists, denying God's existence on so-called scientific grounds. And he wished to challenge this. So he picked up Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj and was preaching to him that you're a scientist, so you have to challenge all of these things. And of course, he was preaching to all of us, Americans, that these scientists are rascals, that they're preaching all rubbish, that they falsely claimed that they've gone to the moon. They're falsely claiming they can create life. So you have to challenge them. And he was giving all arguments. He asked me one time later, he said, were you sorry? Are you sorry when I criticized the scientists? Are you sorry when I criticized? Because it's very deeply ingrained that the scientists, they have knowledge. The scientists can tell us what is what in this universe. The scientists have the scientific method by which we can conclusively establish what is true and what is not true. These things, these ideas are very strong. So Prabhupada had to challenge these ideas. That you're speaking about this scientific method, but you're coming to conclusions which are not at all scientifically justified. So naturally, a young scientist going through the educational system and working for his PhD must have been strongly indoctrinated in all these ideas by his professors. So Srila Prabhupada made it his project to de-indoctrinate this young scientist, or to re-indoctrinate him in the science of Krishna consciousness. And his one forum for this was on his morning walks. Srila Prabhupada used to walk every day, wherever he was in the world. He would take his morning walk by the beach or at some park or someplace he would go. And in Los Angeles, very often he would walk in a park, or he would walk by the side of the ocean at one beach called Venice Beach. So Sir Dhammanar Maharaj was there in California. He would come. Irvine is maybe about 2 hours, hour and a half, south of Los Angeles. So naturally, when Srila Prabhupada was in Los Angeles, Bhakti Sir Dhammanar Maharaj would come. And when Prabhupada was on his walk, of course, everyone wanted to go on Prabhupada's walk. And in the beginning, it was very easy. In 1967 or 68, anyone could simply come because there weren't many devotees. But by this time, 1970s, everyone wanted to come. That means, you know, hundreds and hundreds of devotees wanted to come. So only a few selected devotees could come. Usually, not exactly selected, but senior men and most aggressive. It was very competitive to get on Prabhupada's walk. His PBC men would get to go, his sannyasi disciples would get to go. Sometimes, you know, some other few fortunate people would come. And in that way, a small group would walk with Prabhupada. So Dhammanar Maharaj at that time was not yet a sannyasi, he was a bachelor or brahmachari. And Prabhupada would say, so where is our scientist? Where is our scientist? Srila Prabhupada always used to refer to Bhakti Sarup Dhammanar Maharaj as our scientist. Where is our scientist? So he would call for him. And then Prabhupada would go back and forth giving arguments. They say this and this. What do you say? They say this and this. What do you say? Or Prabhupada would take our side. We say this and this. What do they say? And Sir Dhammanar Maharaj would have to put forward what the scientists say, and Prabhupada would challenge it. And then, so what do they say? Sir Dharmaraj would have to say what they say. Again, Prabhupada would challenge him. Or Sir Dhammanar Maharaj would be the devotee, Prabhupada would challenge him. So what do you say? In this way, Prabhupada very strongly was speaking with him day after day, about these conclusions of Krishna consciousness versus the conclusions of materialistic science. And Srila Prabhupada gave him the mission. He told him also, challenge them, say this, say this. One time Prabhupada said, so can they create a chicken? Suppose I give them some, a chicken's egg is some white, some yellow. So if I give you some white, some yellow, can you create a chicken? If I give you some material elements, any chemicals, challenge them that I'll give you any chemicals. Can you create any living being? Can you create an ant? Can you create anything, a germ? Any chemicals, you tell me what chemicals I'll give you. Can you create? Challenge them. Prabhupada in that way, challenge them. So Sir Dhammad Arvaj did that. He went to some meeting that if Sir, some, you know, big shot was speaking, some distinguished scientist, "Sir, if I give you such and such chemicals, can you create life from the chemicals?" And he couldn't answer anything. Couldn't give a positive answer that, "Yes, I'll do it." Of course, Prabhupada was famously saying, post-dated check, that they say that in the future they'll do it. But that's a post-dated check. So in this way, Prabhupada was training Swarup Dhammadhar Maharaj, and he told him that you should preach in this field. In Bhagavatam also it said that with whatever talents we have, we should serve Krishna. So you're a scientist, and you should use your scientific capabilities for preaching about Krishna consciousness and convincing them about our conclusions. Under Srila Prabhupada's direction, Bhakti Swarup Dhammadhar Maharaj wrote a book called Krishna, the Supreme Scientist. And that was published, Prabhupada told us to publish it through the DDT. Then Srila Prabhupada also told him that I want to start a scientific institute. And Prabhupada gave him the ideas of what he wanted in what he called the Bhakti Vedanta Institute. And Prabhupada made Bhakti Swarup Dhammadhar Maharaj the leader for that institute. We had some other scientists also, Sadaputta Prabhu, and there were here and there one or two others, and some other people with graduate degrees. So Prabhupada encouraged him that you form this Bhakti Vedanta Institute, make a team of scientists, and challenge these materialistic conclusions. Prabhupada also said to start a journal, which could be called Sabdhigyan. Gyanam teham Sabdhigyanam inam avaksham yashesham. Krishna says, "And now I'll speak to you the science of Krishna consciousness." Vijnanam, Prabhupada sometimes translated as realization and sometimes as science. So now I'm speaking to you this science. And when one knows this science, then that's everything. You don't have to know anything else. There's nothing else to be known. So start this journal, Sadhigyanam. So under Srila Prabhupada's direction, Bhakti Swarup Dhammadhar Maharaj began the work of the Bhakti Vedanta Institute and started that journal, Sabhigyanam, and began the systematic preaching of the Krishna consciousness movement in a scientific context. Gradually he met many distinguished scientists and began discussing with them about these principles of Krishna consciousness. He organized conferences by inviting big scientists and including some theme or addressing some theme related to Krishna consciousness. Especially for the anniversary of Srila Prabhupada's disappearance, he organized a big conference in Bombay on Life Comes From Life. That was a very successful conference, and very important scientists attended. And they spoke something because this is scientific, the scientific world that the leading people have to be able to say something, and we give our conclusion. And I remember that at the conclusion of that conference, Bhakti Swarup Thamnar Maharaj, I think he himself or someone else, maybe he himself, read a passage from Srimad Bhagavatam. This just came to one very important verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, along with Prabhupada's purport. And it was so potent that it seemed as though Prabhupada were personally present in that auditorium, our Bombay auditorium, addressing the assembled leaders of the scientific world. Prabhupada's message was very clear, very powerful, and very reasonable. And when it was spoken in that assembly, where so many people had been, I think this, I think that, I think this, I think that. But when Prabhupada's message was read, it had very great power, because it was coming from the transcendental platform of scientific knowledge, not from the mundane platform. I remember at one meeting where Srila Prabhupada was speaking at a Pandal program, maybe it was in Delhi. He, of course, the system was that some big person would speak, chief guest would speak, and then Prabhupada would speak. But on this particular occasion, Prabhupada spoke, and then he had requested that Bhakti Swarup Thamnar Maharaj also speak at this very large meeting. And Swarup Thamnar Maharaj had a scientific presentation, a slide presentation, and he spoke about the arguments of Krishna consciousness in relation to science. And I recall that it was quite a technical presentation, and the crowd was not a crowd of scientists. They were ladies and gentlemen, non-specialists, non-scientists. And many of them also, were impatient. This technical presentation, and Maharaj also spoke with quite a strong Manipuri accent, and when he would speak quickly, it was not easy to follow. So, for that reason, it was difficult to follow, and even from the subject matter, it was difficult. So quite a number of people were, leaving. And Srila Prabhupada was not at all upset or unhappy. Rather, I think he was very satisfied. Others might be paying attention or not paying attention, but Prabhupada was paying attention. How his scientist was preaching the message of Krishna. Prabhupada was paying attention. The whole world could not pay attention. If Prabhupada's paying attention, then no one else no one else counts. If Prabhupada is there. So Prabhupada was very attentive to the presentation, and my impression at the time was that he was very proud also to see that his scientist was presenting this message of Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada sometimes used to say that, of course, because he was challenging the scientists, he said, I am not a scientist, but some of my disciples are scientists, and they also have rejected these ideas. They also. They have also accepted these conclusions of Krishna consciousness. They've also rejected. There was one other occasion. In that way, Prabhupada was speaking through his scientist. I'm not a scientist, but my disciple is a scientist, and he says, or So I'm not a scientist, but I have my disciple. He is a scientist. Scientist, what do you say? What does our scientist say? In that way, just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he would speak through his devotees. So Prabhupada was speaking through his scientist, Bhakti Swarupananda. There was another meeting, I wasn't there, but I've heard about it, in Philadelphia. One scholar was there. He was not a scientist, but he was a scholar. When General Prabhupada wanted to preach to the scholars, and particularly to the scientists, but to scholars in all fields. So one scholar, he was an Indian gentleman, I think Dr. Sharma or Dr. something. He was teaching about Indian philosophy or Indian religion. And Prabhupada, he was invited to come and meet Prabhupada at the temple, so he came. And he's in discussion that he said, I'm teaching about such and such thing. And Prabhupada said, so what is your conclusion? And Prabhupada, and the man said something that we don't know, but we think this and that. So Prabhupada called on Srupadamana Maharaj that if someone doesn't know, but he's teaching, what do we call that? And of course, Bhakti Srupadamana Maharaj had already been trained in these things. Cheater, Srila Prabhupada. So Srila Prabhupada said that our scientist says that you are a cheater. So in this way, our scientist says that you are a cheater. So training was going on and preaching was going on, and after Srila Prabhupada's departure, Bhakti Srupadamana Maharaj continued this program, this project of preaching Krishna consciousness to these scholars and especially to the scientists. He organized many conferences, another one in Calcutta, others in other places, and he also attended many scientific gatherings and spoke from a Krishna conscious point of view. In later years also, he saw an opportunity to present Krishna consciousness in various gatherings of religious leaders, some in Rome and different places. The religious leaders would gather, and he also attended those conferences to represent the ideas of Krishna consciousness. And he continued publishing. He published discussions with Nobel laureates, conference proceedings, so quite a number of books have come out from the Bhakti Vedanta Institute under his direction. At the same time, Srila Prabhupada gave him another instruction. Main instruction was scientific preaching, but then Prabhupada gave another instruction that he should preach in Manipur. Because in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission, of course the Bengali Vaishnavas were there because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began his mission in Bengal. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu later resided in Puri, and so many Odia bhaktas became attracted. So these two communities have been long associated with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's program. Of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu attracted also from the south, Gopal Bhakta Goswami and others. But as I mentioned, Manipur became a very strong place for Krishna consciousness. To this day, if you go to Vrindavan, when you go to Vrindavan, you'll see the Manipuri Vaishnavas. with the ladies dressed in a kind of pink, simple pink dress. And there are many, many Manipuri Vaishnavas in Radhakund. Especially they have a place in Mayapur also. There's a Manipuri temple. So Manipuri Vaishnavas are very devoted and very strong in the tradition of Krishna consciousness. So Srila Prabhupada wanted him to preach in Manipur also. He said that it could become the first Krishna conscious, you know, like kingdom. It was an old kingdom of Krishna consciousness. That Manipur, it said that Arjun picked up, what was her name? Is that right? Chitrangada from Manipur. So Manipur is mentioned in Mahabharata also. And Prabhupada says, so a very old kingdom, Krishna conscious kingdom from the days of Mahabharata. So that instruction was given that you preach in Manipur. And that has come out very successful. Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj took that instruction to heart and started the Manipuri preaching. One year he brought over the years he's brought many devotees from outside also. It's not so easy to go to Manipur, where even the Indians need some special permission to go, I think. And the foreigners, definitely. Practically, you can't go without particular permission. Then only you can go for a few days, because that region is considered a very sensitive region. There are many separatist political activities going on there, and some violence, as we know, goes on in that state. So the Indian government considers it a sensitive area and is very careful about people visiting Manipur. When you go there also, the airport, they've got extra security. But anyway, he's brought quite a number of devotees on tour of Manipur from different places. One year also, of course many years he invited me to go, but one year I actually took the opportunity and went with him to Manipur and got the opportunity to see how much success they've had in their spreading of Krishna consciousness. He'd become a very famous person in Manipur, so much so that when the, because we needed to go on a flight and many devotees had come, so he was able to, you know, speak to someone in the government and they got an extra flight so that we could go. So that's why his, you know, Swarup Damodar Maharaj is speaking to them. They rearranged things and made a special flight, gave special visas and everything. And we got to see the Sankirtan programs arranged in different places, especially, of course, Imphal, the capital. He started a very magnificent project. And when I went there, I got to see so many devotees are involved, and very big people, and very capable, highly cultured and leading people in Manipur are involved in this project. And maybe you've seen the plans. Very big temple complex there, with school and gosha, you know, everything, all the elements, and quite large and prominent. So when I was there, that was already underway. Now I think it's quite, I don't know actually what this situation is. But they held that, they've been holding programs there, and I think TVs are installed and everything is going on. This was some years ago I was there. Now it's in the mature stage. And in other places also around the state, they have smaller temples. And so it's very successful, the Manipuri preaching. Krishna consciousness. Practically, our temple must be the main Of course, there's one very old traditional temple in Imphal, that's Radhakovinda Temple. But, so naturally, you know, that's like Jagannath Temple or Srinathji Temple or Raghunath Mandir, a very old established temple. But apart from that temple, but that's a smaller place also, not so huge. But our temple is very big, so it must be the leading temple in Imphal. Very beautiful plans were there that we saw. Very ambitious temple. So Manipuri preaching. And on the other side, also bringing Manipuri culture outside. Because the Manipuri is just like the South Indians have a particular culture, Gujaratis have a particular culture, the Bengalis. So the Manipuris have a very distinct culture. And he arranged different kinds of cultural programs in different parts of the world, showing something of Manipuri culture, Manipuri dance, Manipuri martial arts also, because Manipur is a Kshatriya state. Dr. Swarup Damodar Maharaj's family name was, or caste name actually, was Singh. In Manipur, the names are last name first, first name middle, and caste name last. So if someone is Dr. Singh, that means he's coming from the Kshatriya community. And most of the Manipuris come from the Kshatriya community. So he arranged for demonstrations of martial arts and Manipuri dance, and in this way, along with the science and culture side by side, and with using this as a way of introducing the culture of Krishna consciousness. He was, apart from preaching in Manipur, he also traveled in different parts of the world, in America, in Europe, in South Africa. I think he visited here one time, Bahrain, a couple of times, Bahrain, spreading this scientific mission and spreading Krishna consciousness and spreading Sankirtan. He was a very enthusiastic Sankirtan man. And his Sankirtan was a little unique, you know. Generally in his kind, everybody follows kind of one or two or three styles. So he had, not very different, but very personal, his own tunes, his own way of leading kirtan. As we have some few special Sankirtan leaders who stand out. So he also stood out in his Sankirtan. Whenever he would lead Sankirtan, it's very strong. The Bengali devotees in Mayapur, they always become happy when Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj would come, because they like his Sankirtan very much. My disciple Kadamba Kandar Maharaj told me that he would come to Spain also. Maharaj would come, Swarup Damodar Maharaj would come to Spain, and the devotees would become so enlightened. But he was telling me, time?
No.
Are they a car?
Okay. Krishna, car number 210755 Lancer. 210755 Lancer and 60583 Corolla. 60583 Corolla. These cars belong to us, can be removed from the present park.
Okay. You heard those two?
Yeah, I'll be.
210755 Lancer and 60583 Corolla. If these are our cars, they need to be moved. My disciple Kadamba Kandar Maharaj was telling me that Swarup Damodar Maharaj would come to some festival, and Maharaj now was quite elderly, in his 60s, and he had a cane, and he was, you know, a little older. He said, but when he would get into the Sankirtan, he would, you know, put aside his cane and begin dancing and jumping. He said he was like a young boy. He would turn from being like an old man
to being
a young boy and dancing and chanting with so much energy, you're tiring out the young men. So in this way, very empowered leader of Harinam Sankirtan, chanting of the holy name of Krishna, and his kirtan with great feeling, with great devotion, and great energy, leading the chanting of the holy name. In France also, in many places, he picked up devotees who might not have been attracted to anyone else, but who were attracted to him especially because of his saintly qualities. He had very much the qualities of a sadhu. Not no material attachments or, material enjoyment, but genuine mood of a sadhu, a saintly person. So in France, devotees became attracted. In many parts of America, devotees became attracted. In Orissa, after the departure of His Holiness Guru Govinda Maharaj, then devotees were, feeling where to look for inspiration. So many devotees, they became very much attracted to Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj because they saw in him the transcendental saintly qualities. So he was very dear to devotees all over the world, very dear to his god brothers, and very dear especially to his spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada. So he's led a energetic and devoted and distinguished life in the service of Guru and Krishna. And now he's left this material world by their will to return to their association. And we're missing his company. But we're able to remember him and take inspiration from his example. Hare Krishna. Shall we end here? Does anyone want to add something or ask something? Any questions there? Okay. So we'll again continue. I think some meeting can be there within some few days. Again, in honor of Maharaj, there can be more discussion and distribution of Mahaprasad in his honor. In this way, we honor the departed devotees by remembering their life of devotional service and by distribution of Krishna Prasada. Maharaj also was involved in distribution of Krishna Prasada and schools. He started several schools. Many things to say.